Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 is where we're going to find our text this evening. And we'll get to that in just a moment. How many of you feel really tired tonight? Just, if you're not too tired, could you raise your hand? You just kind of get a sense of that sometimes. Busyness of life, I don't know, maybe some of you still aren't over the time change. My mom will be crying about the time change until it changes back next November. She thinks it's the dumbest thing in the whole wide world to change the time. I'm glad some of her people are here tonight. I know some of you like it the other way. I personally like it this way a little better. I wouldn't hurt my feelings if they would stop the clock, stop it one way or the other. But I guess we could just move to Arizona. Right? No, not an option. Okay. So I guess we'll stick with it. But I know some of you are tired. I'm told that having allergy symptoms can make you tired. Taking allergy medication definitely makes you tired. So some of you are looking the effects of tiredness tonight. But I just like to remind you that spending time together is important. And spending time together in the Word of God is of the utmost importance. And so I'm glad that you're here. Sorry that you're tired. I don't know how long I'm going to preach. I'm not going to lie to you and guess. You're welcome. But we're going to talk about Sabbath rest. And rest sounds good, doesn't it? Rest sounds good. God created everything in six literal 24-hour days. And on the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, but because he was finished in his work. And he set aside the Sabbath day for the people of Israel as a day of rest. And we talked about the Sabbath a little bit last time, left a lot of meat on the bone, as it were, and some questions that I think some of you may have that I'd like to attempt to answer. But if we have time tonight, I really want to talk to you about that idea of rest, because there was a rest that God had for his people that they missed out on because of their unbelief. And there remains a rest for the people of God if we will simply believe. It's a rest that we can't even begin to understand in this life. We just get pictures. But there's a rest that comes in Christ through the Spirit of God. I guess we can understand it to some degree in the limits of our carnality, in the limits of our fleshly bodies and minds. But there's a rest that comes in Jesus that's more than we can understand fully in this life. So, since you're tired, let's stand together one more time. I find it harder for you to go to sleep when you're standing up. As a matter of fact, if you want, you guys could just stand up the whole time. We could do it like they did in the Bible, and the people stood up and the preacher sat down. Do you know that? Let's bring that back. One pew for the pastor and no pews for anybody else. That'd be awesome. No? All right. You guys okay tonight? You know what you call a fly with no wings? Call it a walk. Good job, Brother Mike. I knew there'd be a dad in the room. That would get... I don't know. I get no response out of anything tonight, so I thought maybe a dad joke would help. All right. We're going to pray now because we desperately need prayer. Stay standing for the reading of the text, which is Exodus 33:14. But let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the time together in the middle of the week. And Lord, our flesh is weak, but God, our spirits are willing. And I pray that you would allow our spirits to overcome the weakness of our flesh and carnal minds tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir us up, that your Spirit would guide us into all truth and teach us. I pray that you'd help me, all of my limitations in my mind, my ability to speak and to my ability to preach the word, that you would help. Lord, my flesh and my mind that get in the way, I pray your Spirit would just take over tonight. And I pray you guide us into all truth. I pray, Lord, that that if there's anyone who hears this message who's never been born again, that they are walking in this world without hope and without God, they have no rest, I pray that they would run to Jesus tonight. I pray that those of us who are in Christ would stop living as though we don't believe, that we would stop hardening our hearts, but that we would just come to you and trust in you and rest in you and obey you by your grace and your Spirit. Please forgive us where we fall short, and please bless your word now. Even as we read, I pray your Spirit would work through the word tonight and it'll accomplish your purposes in every heart and every life, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As you're still standing, verse 14 says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses said to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Please be seated. My presence shall go with thee, the Lord told Moses. My presence is going to go with you. My presence is going to be with my people, and I am going to bring you into rest. I'm going to give you rest. Now remember, where had they come from? Where did God deliver Israel from? Somebody say Egypt. That's right. And God delivered them from Egypt. God set them free. And God was going to bring them through the wilderness. And God's desire was to lead them into what we call the promised land, because God had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he was going to give them that land. But when they came to that land, they did not believe God. How many spies did God have them send into the promised land? 12 spies. How many of them did not believe? 10 of them didn't believe. They had what one pastor said, they had grasshopper syndrome. They viewed themselves as, said, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of all of those giants over them. Two of those men did believe, and those two would be the only men of that generation who would enter into the promised land. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. And by the way, we're going to get to it later in Hebrews 3 and 4. We're going to look at some text there. Joshua, the Old Testament form of the name of Jesus, Yeshua. It's the same Hebrew, Joshua, Greek, Yeshua. And that's where we get the name Jesus from, okay? That's important for part of the text we're going to hopefully get to one of these days. All right. God says, my presence shall go with thee. And Moses has a very right heart when he says this. If your presence isn't going, we don't want to go. And that shouldn't that be the heart of every believer? Listen, Lord, if your spirit doesn't want to go there, I don't want to go there. This isn't what you want to do. I don't want to do that. Lord, if that's not something you want me to see, then I don't want to see that. If it's something that you don't want to hear, I don't want to hear that. If you're not going, I don't want to go. So if your presence isn't going to go with, then don't take us there. Don't send us anywhere without your spirit. I've got great news for you believers. Little preview, getting a little ahead of myself, but how about this? The Lord said to those who believe in him, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Guess what? If you have Christ, if you are in Christ, his spirit is in you, you can't go anywhere without him. Now, you can disobey him and you can grieve the spirit, but he is with you and he will never, ever, ever leave you. And he'll never forsake you. Let me ask you this. If you were the one who saved you, would you have forsaken you? Yeah, but he won't. He won't. You get so defensive sometimes when people just attack you all the time, but you Baptist, you think once saved, always saved. Well, yeah, what else is it? Once saved and then not saved? Once given eternal life and then it's not eternal life? I'll never leave you, but then later I'll forsake you? Hey, will the Lord ever forsake his own? So look happy about it. That's great news. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to let you go. You didn't deserve to be saved, and you don't deserve to stay saved, but it has nothing to do with what you deserve. That's why it's mercy, and that's why it's grace. So let me give just a few things of kind of some teaching or instruction about the Sabbath before we move on to this idea of rest, because I want to make sure you get this. I just kind of briefly touched on it last week, and some people had questions. So what's the deal? Are we supposed to be worshiping on Saturday? Are we supposed to be worshiping on Sunday? Is Sunday our new Sabbath? Like, what's the deal with all that? So let me try to clear a few things up there if I can. And you might want to write down some notes. But Exodus chapter 20 is when God gives the law. And the law can be broken down into two main components. Two main components of God's law. The first one is the greatest law, the greatest commandment, which is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. And I know you are like me, and I really love me. Amen? I mean, most of you can be honest and admit it. Like, I really do love myself. When I'm hungry, I feed me. When I'm cold, I get a blanket. When I'm hot, I grab at my wife, but I don't dare turn the air conditioner down. Okay? If you look at the Ten Commandments as God gives them in Exodus chapter 20, you're going to find that God gives these two main commandments, that's love God and love your neighbor, and then he gives us some more details about those commandments, breaks them down into 10 commandments. The first four deal with loving God. The last half deals with loving your neighbor. And right in between those is this commandment in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 in Exodus chapter 20. Verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it shalt thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So when God gave the law to Israel, he breaks down the law in between some detailed commandments, right? Don't have any other gods before me. Don't make any graven image and bow down to them. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then he says, honor the Sabbath day. And then he gives us some commandments about loving our neighbor, right? What's the first commandment with promise? Honor your father and your mother. Mind your mama and your daddy, and you won't die young. Amen? It's the first commandment with a promise. And then he tells us, thou shalt not kill or murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. Are you with me? Okay. Now, when God gives the law regarding the Sabbath day, what does he point back to when he teaches Israel about the Sabbath day? He points back to creation, doesn't he? Now let me just ask you, think about this for a moment. Because when God teaches, there's always deeper things there if you'll look for them. So if you were to, I don't know, take your Bible and go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 gives us the days of creation. Genesis 2 goes back and gives us more details about the creation. Chapter 2 it goes back and deals with those days of creation. That's really important, because if you read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and you think it's just a continual storyline, that gets really confusing. So chapter 2 goes back and gives us some details. What was it like for Adam and Eve in the garden? What was it like for them in the garden before they sinned against God? Well, it was pretty good, wasn't it? Okay, was there sin? Was there death? Was there sickness? Could they eat of all the fruit of the trees, of all the plants in the garden? All of them but one. But don't you imagine that everything else there was pretty good? Well, I got an idea it was really good, because God looked at everything he made and said, it's very good. And so he put Adam in the garden to keep it, But work before the curse was different than work after the curse. Wasn't it? Okay, well, after the curse, God told Adam, now you're going to have to work and in the sweat of your brow. And now there's going to be thorns and thistles. Now work is going to be difficult. Now work is going to be hard. I got an idea that though he had things to do in the garden, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't hard work. It wasn't labor before like it was after. Is everybody still with me? Okay. In other words, God provided everything. It was right there at his hands to enjoy in the fellowship and presence of God. So when God gives the Sabbath day, he points back to creation before the curse, and he's reminding his people that I have a rest for you that I want to give you like I had with you before you rebelled against me. God's desire for his creation is for us to enjoy his presence forever. And he wants to bring us into eternal rest with him. And that's what the Sabbath is pointing at. It's pointing at sin has messed all this up, but I want to remind you that I want to have relationship with you like I did before. I believe the Sabbath points back to creation for that reason, and he keeps reminding them about it as he gives it. Now, if you go to Exodus 31:12. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. He goes on in verse 17 to say, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And God said, I'm going to give you 6 days to work, but on the seventh day, I want you to rest. I want you to understand that I'm going to give you work to do, but I want to remind you that I've got a rest for you because I'm sanctifying you and I'm separating you. You are not supposed to be like the rest of the world. God's people aren't supposed to be like the rest of the world. God's people are supposed to be holy. They're supposed to be sanctified. They're supposed to be set apart. And so the Sabbath day was to remind them of that. And notice this, it is a sign between the Lord and Israel. It is a sign between them. So when God gives this commandment to them, it is a sign between him and Israel in the old covenant. That's important. It's the old covenant that God made with them. And if you go on to Leviticus 23, we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to get this. The Lord gives not just the weekly Sabbath, because the weekly Sabbath was Saturday, the seventh day, but God gives Sabbaths throughout the year for the Jews to observe. So in verse 3, Leviticus 23, verse 3, he says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation to the Lord. And then he begins to give the feast throughout Leviticus 23. The 14th day of the first month, verse 5, tells us about the Lord's Passover. And then in verse 10, he tells us about the feast of first fruits. And then he talks about the weeks of the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost in verse 15, counting seven Sabbaths, 49, and the next day, the Feast of Weeks. Down in verse 24, it's the Feast of Trumpets, and down in verse 42, he talks about the Feast of Booths, where they would dwell in booths or tents or tabernacles as a reminder of how they wandered in the wilderness, okay? Now, I know we're just kind of flying over this, but I want you to get it. God was going to set aside holy convocation, days of rest, Sabbath days, and even if they didn't fall on a Saturday, these were holy days separated unto God for the people of Israel to remember what God had done for them and what God was going to do for them through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you've never studied it and you've never read it, it's an awesome study to see how Jesus Christ fulfills every one of those Old Testament feasts. He does. He does, every one. Okay? So just let me give you one. When we think about Passover, Christ is our Passover. Right? And let me talk to you about this one that's coming, the Feast of Trumpets. Do you know what's going to happen in the last days when the Lord comes? The trumpet is going to sound. Isn't that good? I mean, you could go through all of them and see the different feasts and all of these Sabbaths. Okay, so let me give you some just quick instruction here as far as it comes. Because the question is, so what about today? What about the Sabbaths today? Because some of you have family and friends who still worship on Saturday. They believe that we're still under that part of the covenant. And I want you to see this. Sabbath day was under the law, and it was a signed covenant for the people of Israel. It was a sign to those who were under the old covenant. But friends, you and I are not under the old covenant. God did away with the old covenant, and because it was old, he made a new covenant, and that new covenant is found in Christ. Second, the New Testament nowhere commands Christians to observe the Sabbath. Now, you can find the Ten Commandments repeated multiple places in the New Testament, but you'll find observing the Sabbath is always left out of those lists. Christians in the New Testament are never commanded to keep the Sabbath. Next, the only time we see examples of the early church meeting in the New Testament, we look in Acts chapter 20, we look at some things that Paul said to other churches like Corinth. They met on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday, not Saturday, but Sunday. So we find the examples of them meeting. There's nowhere in the Old Testament that we see that God wanted Gentile nations to observe the Sabbath, and they are never condemned for not observing the Sabbath. Next, there's no evidence of anyone keeping the Sabbath before the time of Moses. And really, it was up until the law was given. God, remember, that was not ever given before Moses, before the law. God set it apart. God said it was a day of rest, but he didn't give it as a law to be observed until Sinai. When we go to the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, you'll remember that some people had come to the churches of Galatia, and they were teaching the people. They came from Jerusalem, and they were teaching the Gentiles. They were saying, unless you're circumcised and keep the law, you can't really be saved. You guys remember that? And so they sent people back to Jerusalem. The bishops and deacons with the apostles all come together. They have this big discussion about it all. You remember Paul and Timothy are giving the case and telling all about it. Peter talks about how he was sent to give the gospel to the Gentiles. And all of this is told. And when it's all said and done, they send letters back to the churches. And they say, listen, we know some people are teaching you that stuff, but that's not what we told them to teach. We want you to keep faith in Jesus. Just don't do this. Don't commit fornication. And don't eat anything that's strangled with blood. You guys remember that? If they were going to give them anything about keeping the law, this would have been the time for them to do it. But they didn't say that, did they? Part of the Jerusalem Council, the letter that was sent to the churches, the Gentile churches, they never say, oh yeah, and be sure to keep the Sabbath. It was never mentioned. Next, Paul rebuked the Galatians. If you look to Galatians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Paul rebuked them for thinking that God expected them to observe special days, including the Sabbath days. Including the Sabbath days. As a matter of fact, in Romans 14, Paul teaches that keeping the Sabbath is a matter of Christian liberty. It's a matter of Christian liberty. So here's the deal. Some people think you ought to observe the Sabbath day, have a day of rest, and if that's what you want to do and you believe that's how you ought to worship God, then you do that. But you don't judge someone else for not doing that. And you may think, well, I don't really feel like I should observe those Sabbath days. I don't really think that those holy days really mean anything. The scripture doesn't say to do it. That's fine. Then don't do it. But don't sit in judgment on those who do. Everybody with me right now? I think Christian liberty is really hard for us because we think very black and white about everything. There's black and there's white. That's the way it is. Right and there's wrong. But there's also Christian liberty. And there are things that are not either right or wrong. It's what's in your heart that matters. And by the way, the heart was what God was always interested in with the law. And so it's a matter of liberty to do what you think. But let me just warn you with this. If you're going to observe the Sabbath day, and you want to observe it the way God taught the people of Israel, it's going to be very hard for you to do. When they observed the Sabbath, the priests profaned the Sabbath because they had to go do the work. But for you, if you're not a priest to observe the Sabbath, you can't leave your house. You can't light a fire. You can't do anything to expend energy. When he says don't work, it doesn't mean don't go punch in at work. It means don't do anything. So when you observe the Sabbath, you literally did virtually nothing all day long. From the time the sun set on what we would call Friday to the time the sun set on Saturday, you stayed in your house and you did nothing. And if you did do something, like the man who they found outside picking up sticks, you remember him? They brought him to Moses and said, we don't know what to do. He's broken the Sabbath. What do we do? They took him and they stoned him with stones that he died. So, you want to observe the Sabbath? You can do that. But if you want to do it biblically, you don't go to worship. You don't go to church. You stay at home on Saturday and you do nothing. Clear as mud? So what's the question? The question is, are we supposed to be doing that? Are we supposed to be observing the Sabbath day? Well, there are a lot of people who have tried to take the Sabbath day teachings and apply them to Sunday. And I just want to help you out with that. The Bible nowhere teaches that. So when you get up and you drive to church, you leave your house and drive to church on Sunday, you haven't violated the Sabbath because Sunday isn't the Sabbath day. When you turn your lights on in the morning when you get up on Sunday, or you turn them on when you come home, do you know there are Jews today that have automatic switches, automatic things on their light because on their lights because they feel like flipping a switch is like starting a fire? So they won't do it themselves, but they'll set a timer to do it for them. Okay? See, this is why God has to give us so much details in the law. You remember when we read the law, he said, don't work. Zach, don't work. But don't let your wife work either. Mike, don't work. But don't let your wife work or your kids work either. Oh, yeah, and don't let your manservant or your maidservant work. As a matter of fact, don't let anything do any work. And he had to give them all those details because that's the way we think. We're always trying to find a loophole. And because you're good Americans, you're good at that. Aren't we good at finding loopholes? And we missed the whole point. So what's the point? All of the things that God gives in the Old Testament, all of the Sabbaths, were pointing to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why you don't have to observe the Sabbath today? Do you know why you don't have to observe the feast days today? Because Christ fulfilled it all. And now I don't have to have a day of rest because he has given me rest. I don't have to observe the Sabbath today because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, find Hebrews chapter 3, if you would, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. So I've made my case. I'm sure I'll get some texts or calls or emails or comments on the website later. I don't believe that as Christians today we're supposed to observe the Old Testament Sabbath, and I don't believe that the Sunday worship has been the Sabbath day is to be incorporated into Sunday worship. It's something completely different. But by the way, it's pretty awesome. Most of you have Saturday and Sunday off when you work. So God has still provided almost all of you with a day of rest and then a day of worship. Isn't that nice? And to be sure, we should rest in Christ every day. And to be sure, we should worship Christ every day. But how greatly has he blessed us here? Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, if the Lord wills, we'll talk more about this next week, but I want you to get this. God had a rest for the people of Israel. That rest was for them to pass through the wilderness, over the River Jordan, and into the promised land where God would drive out their enemies. God would fight for them and drive out their enemies and give them the land and give them the blessings that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But because they did not believe, they missed out on the rest. They didn't believe. They hardened their hearts. They stiffened their necks. And they died in the wilderness. So let me just warn you tonight, believe the word of the Lord. If you believe, you can enter into his rest. But if you do not believe and you harden your heart, he warns you that your fate will be the same as those who fell in the wilderness. They died in unbelief. And we'll see that the gospel, the good news of God, was preached to them just like it is to us. But it didn't do them any good because it wasn't mixed with faith. So friend, when you hear the word of God, believe the word of God. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't tempt God. Don't push God. Don't test God. Hasn't he shown us enough? He's shown us enough, friends, because he came. Because he died. Because he rose again the third day. So don't walk out of here in disbelief. Don't turn off the live stream in disbelief, but believe. Believe. Hear his voice and believe tonight. Let's stand together. Praise God that he's given us rest. Rest from our labors. Rest from our enslavement, our bondage. Rest from trying to earn our way. Rest from the wars and the fightings in our hearts and minds. Rest from being at war with himself. He's given us rest through faith in Christ. We have peace with God. If you've never trusted in him, trust in him tonight. If you're trusting in him tonight, rejoice in his goodness to us, because we sure don't deserve it. And yet he's given it anyway.